And thank you that you are a God that loves us, God that desires to have a relationship with us. And Father, in this moment, we just come before you and we just lay everything at the foot of the cross. Simply say, here we are. There's so much that's gone on this week, so many worries and doubts and frustrations and concerns. And Father, in this moment, we're reminded that you, creator and sustainer of all things, that we rest in the palm of your hand. And all those emotions and worries and frustrations, Father, we just simply lay them at the foot of the cross and say, here we are. We come before you this morning. Simply focus on you. Pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit is continuing to be here with us as we worship you, reading your word and interacting with it. And we pray that as we interact with it, we cannot help but be changed by your message, by your truth. We thank you. We love you. In your awesome and holy name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning, church family. You may be seated. Randy had the opportunity this morning to baptize his granddaughter, and him and Judy are off doing that, and then he will be out of the office this week traveling to Oklahoma to be there with his mom for some things, and so we want to be praying for them as they have that special moment this morning, but also be praying as he travels and safe return and all that. But I'm glad to be here with you this morning. We've been working through, I've been preaching through a series out at North Campus, we're in the kind of the middle of that series, and I was just going to preach the same message over there here this morning, but I started thinking about it last night and said, you're not going to know where we're at. It's not going to make any sense. And so I had to call an audible there at the end, and so I'm going to preach the very first sermon of that series for y'all this morning as we're working through the book of Haggai. Now, what that means is you're not going to have words up on the screen since I completely changed the sermon of what we're teaching about this morning. Pray for me as that's two completely different sermons that I'm preaching this morning. So if I get off into Haggai chapter 2 and stuff like that, just bear with me, forgive me. But I'm glad to be here with you this morning, and we're going to be working through the book of Haggai this morning. So go ahead and turn to that in your Bible. If you just start flipping through your Bible, you're going to miss it. It's only about a page and a half long. It's in between Zephaniah and Zechariah, if that helps. Go to the end of the Old Testament, work back a couple of books, and you're going to find yourself there at Haggai. We're going to start talking about chapter 1 this morning. Now, so often in life, you wake up in one day in the middle of life, and you're disappointed with where you're at. Some of y'all can identify with that. Some of y'all may be there right now. Some of y'all may be working through that. Some of y'all, that's just right around the corner of one day you just start the question of God, where do you have me? What is all of this? What is life? I don't understand any of this. This is not what I was expecting. This was not what I was planning for. It can happen at any stage of life, really, whether it's college. Wake up in college one day and, God, I thought I was going to be in this major. I thought I was going to have these grades. I remember distinctly when I was in college and calling my mom one day and saying, Mom, I don't know. I think my last resort is to enlist in the Army or something. I'd given up on classes. I'd failed enough and dropped the rest, and my GPA wasn't there. I said, Mom, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I think enlisting in the Army is the only option. Maybe for you is your job, and after college you're in your first job, second job, and it's not what you thought it would be. You know, I thought it was going to be different. I had these dreams of grandeur of graduating college and going off and making lots of money and doing a glorious job, and God, this job it's not even my major. Maybe it's in your marriage, and you just like, is this really what God had in store for marriage? Maybe it's kids. Kids are wearing on you. Wherever you're at in life, we instinctively come to that point where we begin to doubt, we begin to frustrate God of what are you doing in my life? Where are you in all of that? And that's what we're going to talk about here this morning. Maybe for some of you it's religion. Maybe for some of you it's like, you know, I'm going to give this church thing a try. I'm going to give this Sunday school a try. I'm going to give this Bible study a try. And, you know, a month, 2 months into it, it's just, God, I don't feel you. I don't know where you're at. And you're just ready to give up on this whole religion thing. This morning we're going to be talking about that in Haggai chapter 1. Now I'm going to set up the story for you because there's a lot that's leading up to this. In King Solomon's fourth year, he built this great temple. He built Solomon's temple. This beautiful temple, it was majestic, it was glorious, and it's where the people came to offer their sacrifice. It's where the high priest came into the presence of God in the Holy of the Holies, and it was beautiful and magnificent, and people came from miles around to see and to worship and to behold the majesty of this temple. Now what we see happen is that King Solomon died, and all of his wisdom, he died, and we see a series of kings that were just began to be failures, and the Jews began to turn their hearts away from who God was, and they began to worship idols, began to focus on other things, and their heart was not in God's will. And so God began to allow a series of events to take place to begin to pull their heart, to pull their focus back to who he was, back to the fact that they were God's people. And what we see in 587 BC is King Nebuchadnezzar comes in and he destroys the temple. He destroys the temple. We see Jeremiah just weeping over the destruction of the temple, and the people are crying out, and he takes them in captivity. He imprisons the Jews and brings them back. And for 50 years, they were in captivity. For 50 years after the destruction of the temple. They were in captivity up to 70 years, 20 years before the destruction of the temple. But for 50 years after the temple, they were in captivity. And all they thought about was the majesty of Solomon's temple, of getting back to their homeland, of getting back and rebuilding the temple. Imagine what it's like. Imagine what in that moment in a faraway land. You've been plucked out of your homeland, and all you can think about is to return. Return to the land that was promised you, to return to the temple, to come before God, to offer your sacrifice, to be in his presence. And for 50 years, that's all they thought about. And finally, in 538 BC, 50,000 people were allowed to return. 50,000 people returned to the homeland, and they were excited, and they began to rebuild the temple. They were excited to finally, we dreamed about this for 50 years, and finally, and there were some people that remembered the majesty of the temple. And they're in their 70s now, and they're going to begin to rebuild the temple, and it's going to be awesome, it's going to be amazing. And they laid the foundation for the temple, they laid the altar of the temple, and the Samaritans came. The Samaritans came and started to be a hindrance, and they started to oppose them. They gave up. They just gave up. They built the foundation. They built the altar to the temple. They were so excited. They'd been dreaming about this for 50 years. They got hard, and they quit. All they had thought about. And for 14 years, they did not touch the house of God. For 14 years, they did nothing but began to build their own houses. And so at this point, we see God raise up Haggai to be his prophet, to speak to the people. That's where we pick up in Haggai chapter 1, verse 2. It says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say that the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord." Now he starts off with God. The first thing God said is these people. Now, parents, some of you can relate to this. When your kids have been bad and your husband finally comes home and you say, your sons, your kids. You see, all through Scripture, we see God responding to me, that my people who follow me, my people. And he's so frustrated at this point, he says, these people. He's not even referring to them as my people. There's this, clearly this frustration there. And he says, these people say that the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Now the question is why hadn't the time not yet come? They didn't think the time has come yet because of all the opposition. You see, they didn't think it was time yet because it got hard to rebuild the temple. You see, the Samaritans started to oppose them, and so they kind of gave up because thinking, well, since it's not easy, if this is really what God wants us to do, it would be easier to do, right? Many of you can identify with that. Meaning you can say, God, if this is really of you, it would probably be a lot easier. And it was difficult. And so the Jews began to give up, and for 14 years, they did nothing. You see, in times of opposition, it usually signals that you're doing something right. In times of opposition, you're probably doing what God has called you to do. It's in the easy times when we begin to see disobedience. Because it's easier to disobey. This is what I want you to write down this morning. You see, we should be choosing the hard right over the easy wrong. We should be choosing the hard right over the easy wrong. You see, it's much easier to do something else apart from God's will. Maybe somebody hurt your feelings. Maybe somebody's talking about you. Maybe there's a strife between you and somebody else and they hurt your feelings. It would be much easier to have a grudge. It'd be much easier to write them off. It'd be much easier to choose, you know, I'm just not gonna deal with that person anymore. When the hard right is to seek out forgiveness, to seek out a relationship, to share the word of God. Maybe it's debt. Maybe many of you this morning you find yourself just in a place of debt, overwhelming debt. And it's easier just to keep making the minimum payment. It's easier to keep racking up the debt. Maybe it's wrong relationships. Whatever it is, it's much easier for us to do that which is not God's will. It's only when we begin to be obedient that things begin to get tough. And so if things are going easy right now, maybe just start spending some time in prayer. Seeing where God is leading and you are following. You see, building the temple was hard, but it was right. I think back to that time in college when I was doubting myself. I was taking the easy wrong. And I remember a conversation that my parents wanted to meet me for lunch at Steak and Ale, and being a college kid, I was like, hey, free lunch. Why not? And I'm showing up to that Steak and Ale and eating lunch, and in the middle of all that, my parents had to tell me, he said, you know what? We're cutting you off. Continue to make wrong decisions, and I was. And they said, you know what? We're taking your gas card. We're not paying for college anymore. We're not putting money in your account. You're on your own. It would have been much easier for them to keep trying to be my friend, to keep trying to talk me into what is doing and right. But I thank God today that they took the hard right in saying, this is it. They left emotional. I left emotional. And I had an opportunity. My dad and I talked about this a few weeks ago about that time. He said, man, that was hard. And I said, Dad, I thank you for taking the hard right. Thank you for what was doing it was right, because it was that moment that there was a catalyst in my life for God to begin to show me some things and to step out and go where he was leading. You see, doing what is right is a lot harder than doing what is wrong, because you see, God is going to, Satan's going to tempt us with what is good. We think that as long as we're doing something good, that's where God has us. And that couldn't be further from the truth. We look in Genesis, the reason that Adam and Eve ate the fruit is because they saw the fruit and saw that it was good. They were deceived. You see, good apart from God is still sin. That we think that if we're simply doing something that is good, then it must be of God because it's good. That's wrong. Good apart from God is still sin. That we need to be following wherever God is leading. So you see, building the temple was hard, but it was the hard right. But instead, it took the easy way out. In your life, you should be always praying for what is the hard right. God, what are you calling me to do? God, what is the right thing to do? What is the hard right? And avoid the easy wrong. You see, Haggai reminds them of this. Of what is the hard right choice in your life right now? What is that unfinished business in your life right now? What is God calling you to do that you've put on the back burner? What is the decision in your life that was too hard to follow through? Maybe God's calling you to a new endeavor. Maybe it was a new job. Maybe it was into ministry. Maybe it was to get out of debt. Maybe it was to simply share the gospel with somebody. And you've been putting it off because it's hard. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. You don't know what the first steps are. You know what that is, and it's through that lens that I want you to listen to this message this morning. Through that context of whatever that is. Verse 3. It says, Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses where this house lies in ruins? Verse 5 says, and now therefore says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. He's saying, is it time that you dwell in your paneled houses while God's house remains unfinished? He's saying you're so focused on building your house and making them look nice and grand and adding on to them that you're more worried about your house than you are the house of God. He's saying, in fact, your house is nicer than the house of God. And the question is you, are you putting your comfort before God's calling? Are you putting your comfort in life ahead of God's calling? Are you more concerned about your name and your identity than making a difference in the world? Are you more concerned about your house ahead of God's house? Are you more concerned about your finances than you are about tithing? Be obedient to God. See, it's easy for us to look at that and say, you know what? We begin to give and take, and we say, okay, God, I'm going to do this, but I got to have this. And we look at our finances, and we say, God, and ultimately our tithe is the last check that's written out of our finances. When if we were truly obedient to what God was calling us to do, our tithe, our check would be the first check written. And when we don't do that, we say, God, I don't trust you. I got to take care of everything else in my life. And then whatever's left over at the end of the month, I'll give you that. If my wife and kids, if we don't take the kids out to eat, then maybe we'll have left over to give something to you. But instead, if we were truly obedient in what God was calling us to do, we would hand our finances over to Him and we would say, God, I trust you. I trust that you're going to take care of everything else. This is your funds. This is your money. And my tithe is going to be the first check that I write. And I'm going to trust that you're in control of everything else after that. Maybe it's getting involved in a small group. Maybe it's just simply getting involved in a Bible study. You're saying, God, I don't have time for that. Are you putting your time ahead of God's calling? Are you putting your thoughts, your focus, your energy ahead of what God is calling you to do? Because this is where Haggai finds the people. This is where he finds the Jews. They're more worried about their comfort. They're more worried about their houses than they are about God's house. You see, God wants us to choose the hard right over the easy wrong. He wants us to choose the hard right over the easy wrong. So let's look in verse 6. He says, you have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag of holes. What he's saying here is he said, yeah, you're working hard. You're investing your life, and you're investing in all the wrong places. For 50 years, they had dreamed about coming back and building the temple, worshiping God. And as soon as it got hard, they quit. And God said, and basically what God's saying here is, you have worked your tail off, but you have nothing to show for it. You have worked your tail off, you have nothing to show for it. You have tons, but you're not satisfied. You see, you've done so much, but yet there is no fulfillment in anything that you've done. Many of you can identify with that with this morning, that you're putting in the long hours. You're working, you've done so much, and you're seeing there's no fulfillment. There's no satisfaction in all that. God's telling the Jews here the same thing. It's because you're working for the wrong end. See, you're not being obedient to me. Chosen the easy wrong, and there's no fulfillment in any of that. He says, what are you doing? We pick up in verse 7, he says, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. This is the second time he says, consider your ways. Think about what you're doing. Think about your original calling, and look. Look what you've turned it into. Look what you've turned God's calling in your life. You've turned it into this. Many of us can remember back when we first became a Christian or we first committed our life to Christ, and there was so much passion and zeal and, God, I'm going to do so much, and we've fallen in this rut. As long as I can show up to church, I'm doing all right. As long as I can attend a Bible study, I'm doing all right. When God has called us to so much more than that, to step out and boldly proclaim the gospel, to give everything over to Him, and to simply be obedient. Many of us, we don't think that we have to seek after God's calling anymore because we think we're being obedient by simply showing up. And God's calling is so much more. We have taken God's calling and turned it into something completely different. And so verse 7 says, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, think about what you're doing versus what God called you to do. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it, that I may be glorified, says the Lord. What he does here is, as parents, you can probably relate to this. He says, look, you've neglected my house for 14 years, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make it real simple for you. I'm going to give you three things to do. He says, one, I want you to go up into the mountain. Two, I want you to bring down timber. And three, I want you to build my house. It's that easy. It's that simple. See, a lot of times we try to complicate it more than it really is. We try to look at it and say, God, this is tough. This is hard. I'm tired. I can't do this anymore. And we overcomplicate it. And God says, look, it's this simple. Go up into the mountain, bring down the timber, and build my house. And many of us would look at that and say, then what? Okay, you want me to bring down the timber, you want me to build your house, but then what? What about steps 4, 5, and 6? You've given me 1, 2, and 3, but what about steps 4, 5, and 6? And you see, we can't even begin to fully comprehend God's plan. Then why would God even reveal steps 4, 5, and 6 if we're not obedient in steps 1, 2, and 3? That we have to simply step out in faith in what God's calling us to do, to simply be obedient. Those we talked about some examples a while ago, maybe sharing the gospel, and you just don't know how that conversation is going to go. Trust God that he's going to continue the conversation. You just need to start the conversation. You just need to be obedient and build in the relationship and begin the conversation and trust that the Holy Spirit is there and it will take over. Maybe it's a better marriage. Maybe your marriage is not exactly where it needs to be, and you're just going to give up on it. When we need to step out and begin to take steps out of obedience and choosing to love our spouse, choosing to work towards our marriage, even if they will not, we're going to make the commitment to work towards that. Maybe it's getting out of debt. Maybe it's to serve in the church. Maybe it's ministry, to simply step out in faith. I remember when God called me into the ministry. And it was about a 5-year difference from when I actually went into the ministry, because I ran from it for so long. See, delayed obedience is still disobedience. And I ran from it. I said, God, I was scared of failure. Maybe wherever you're at in life, if whatever God's calling you to do, maybe you're afraid of failure. Maybe you're afraid of what that person's going to think about you when you share the gospel. Maybe you're afraid of how to support your family if you take on that new job. Maybe you're afraid of finance if you decide to God's calling you into ministry. Maybe you're afraid of failure. But here's the thing this morning, is you cannot worry about the outcome. You need to worry about obedience. The outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is your responsibility. The outcome is God's responsibility. And we become consumed with fear. What's going to happen? Maybe it's sin that's plaguing your life. Maybe there's sin in the life that you just can't get past. You keep struggling with it. You know what it is, because it's probably the first thing that just popped in your mind. Whatever it is, maybe it's infidelity, maybe it's pornography, maybe it's anger, maybe it's jealousy, maybe disobedience. The sin that's plaguing your life, and God is simply, three steps, he's saying, just confess it. Confess, repent, and move forward in obedience. But instead, we become so consumed with it that we've shut down. Maybe for you it's been 14 years, just like the Jews here. Maybe we've lived in disobedience. Maybe we say, God, no more. I'm going to head in this different direction. When all we need to do is, God's saying, it's this simple. Simply confess, repent, and move forward in obedience to who God is. Of stepping out in faith and saying, God, here I am. What do you have me to do? Where do you want me to serve? What do you want me to do with my finances? How can I serve you with my time? How can I serve you energy, instead of just going through the motions and falling in love again with that first love of who God is, that he is our creator and our sustainer and he is our savior. Instead, we've relegated to just going through the motions. My encouragement to you this morning is to choose the hard right over the easy wrong, whatever that is in your life. And so for some of you this morning that you may not have a relationship with Christ, and some of you this morning looking at me like, what are you talking about? You see, if you are not a follower of God, if he is not Lord of your life, then this is as good as it gets. There is no hope. Maybe you're looking for that this morning. Maybe you're looking for hope. Maybe you're looking for answers. You're looking for fulfillment. There's this void in your life, and you don't know how to fill it. Our hope and our prayer is that this morning you leave here with an understanding of who Christ is. That you leave here with an understanding that you see, it's too often we've said, you know, do you want to go to heaven or hell? And as soon as we say heaven, we pray this prayer, and that's it. There's no discipleship, there's no growing, there's no understanding that I need a Savior today. Yeah, we can all agree we need a Savior for the future, but I need a Savior for today, for tomorrow, for my sins, from what God is calling me to do. Because apart from Him, obedience. Maybe this morning, simply spending time right where you're at, of coming before God and saying, God, I know what you've called me to do, and I failed you. I know what you're calling me to do, and I refuse to do it. Maybe it's this recommitting of God's calling in your life. This morning is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to respond to what God's doing in your life. Simply respond to who He is. Will you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we come before you. And we thank you. Thank you for your love and grace. And Father, you've called us to so much. Father, too often we take the easy road out. We're just like the Jews, and Father, it got hard and we gave up. And this morning, Father, we come before you and you say, we want to put a stake in the ground and say, from this day forward, we're going to be obedient. From this day forward, I'm going to come before you and confess my sin and repent. That Father, this day forward, I have a desire for holiness in my life. And not just to avoid the big sins, but Father, we're going to have a hatred for all sin in our life. I pray that we step up as men and women of God, that we step up to the challenge and say, Father, it may be hard, but it is right. And that's the decision we're going to make here this morning. Lord, we pray that you would convict us of sin in our life, that Father, you would give us brokenness for your will and what you would have us to do. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In your awesome and holy name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand up this morning, and we want to invite you to simply respond. Respond to whatever God's doing. You know, we have people up here to talk to. Maybe you have questions about what it means to truly have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe about what it means to need a Savior. We have men up here that would love to have that conversation with you. We want to open up the altar, and maybe you just want to take a moment in prayer and come before God and say, God, this is the day. This is the day I'm going to step out in obedience. This is the day I'm not going to give into the sin plaguing my life anymore. I confess and I repent. We want to open up the altar to you. Maybe you want to come up here and pray. Maybe you want to grab somebody else and pray with you. Maybe you want one of us up here to pray with you. The next few moments is an opportunity. It's just that. It's an opportunity to respond to whatever God's doing in your life. It's our hope and our prayer that you leave here this morning, responding to who God is. No.